Buckle up, folks. You're tuned to Truth Amplified with Vixie Steele, where we turn the volume up on reality and melt the varnish off the spin. Have you ever heard of a politician who ping-ponged from Hawaii politics to war zones to Congress, then straight into the nerve center of US intelligence like a guided missile? Meet Tulsi Bloody Gabbard. Vixie Steele here, feeling feisty today. Let's get into it, mate.
Look, who is she really?
Tulsi Gabbard was born in American Samoa in 1981. Moved to Hawaii, homeschooled, surfboard under one arm, Bhagavad Gita under the other. At 21, she blasts into the Hawaii House in 2002 as the youngest legislator in state history. Then, in 2003, she enlists in the Hawaii Army National Guard. Yeah, no, that's not a photo op enlistment. By 2004, she's in Iraq at LSA Anaconda with a medical company, earning the Combat Medical Badge. In March 2007, she crushed Accelerated OCS at the Alabama Military Academy, graduating first in her class. First woman to ever do it. That's not a participation trophy, that's steel. Then, from 2008 to 2009, she's in Kuwait running an MP platoon. She's among the first women to set foot in a Kuwaiti military facility. The Kuwait National Guard gave her an award of appreciation. Respect where it's due. Back home, by 2010, she's on Honolulu City Council pushing those gritty municipal fights. From food trucks to that Bill 54 public property ordinance everyone screamed about. Then boom, 2012, Congress. She wins Hawaii's second district with over 80%. First Samoan-American voting member and first Hindu in Congress. That's history. She grabs armed services, foreign affairs, homeland security, later financial services. Not a backbencher, for real. And she wasn't just posing for glossy committee photos. She passed the Helping Heroes Fly Act to make airport screening suck less for severely wounded vets. Talia's Law to crack down on child abuse on bases. Pushed election paper ballots with the Securing America's Election Act. Backed the Off Fossil Fuels Act aiming for clean energy by 2035, and co-sponsored the No More Presidential Wars Act with the late Walter Jones to shove war powers back where they belong, with Congress. Finally, someone gets it.
Then came the fireworks.
She resigned as DNC vice chair in 2016 to back Bernie Sanders, gave his nominating speech, and picked fights with party brass over debate shenanigans. Fast forward to 2020. She runs for president as an anti-interventionist, torches Kamala Harris on a debate stage, and votes present on Trump's impeachment articles. Oh, this again. The pearl clutching could have powered Honolulu. Then the political realignment tour. She starts sounding more conservative on culture and border security, hits CPAC, leaves the Democratic Party in 2022, becomes a Fox News contributor, joins the GOP at a Trump rally in North Carolina in October 2024. In November 2024, Trump nominates her to run the entire intelligence community as DNI. Senate confirms her in February 2025. First Pacific Islander American, first Hindu American, and first female combat vet in that job. That's a hell of a hat trick. As DNI, she sprints out the gate. Munich Security Conference, then India's Raisina Dialogue. Indo-Pacific stops in Japan and Thailand. She checks in with Indo-PACOM in Hawaii. On the home front, she tortures the ODNI org chart like a bonfire, consolidating the National Intelligence Council under her office. She fired two NIC officials after a product clashed with the administration's line on Venezuelan gang members. And she shifted priorities to border security, counter-terrorism and counter-narcotics, including fentanyl flows. Supporters say overdue. Critics say she's robbing the Russia and China desks to feed homeland rhetoric. Welcome to Washington, where your inbox is a Molotov cocktail. And then came the chainsaw. Reports show ODNI staff had already been trimmed by about 25%, and in August 2025, she announced a 50% cut and $700 million lopped off. Baseline math gave everyone a migraine. She revoked 37 clearances for alleged politicisation, leaks or tradecraft violations, including some tied to 2016 Russia assessments and Trump impeachment support. Her camp calls it house cleaning. Her critics call it retribution. I call it Tuesday in the swamp.
Not surprisingly, controversies piled up. A Signal group chat planning a Yemen operation accidentally included journalist Jeffrey Goldberg. She told Congress there was no classified info and that another official added him. In January 2026, she was present during an FBI raid on Fulton County's elections office. She cited election security and counterintelligence authority, and Democrats lost their minds over DNI lines in a domestic probe. In December 2025, she made claims tying CARE and Sharia to events in Paterson, New Jersey. Local officials and fact-checkers shot those down hard. And in July 2025, she released a previously classified House Intel GOP report, calling it irrefutable evidence of treason by Obama. Obama called that outrageous, and the broader intelligence community had assessed that Russia interfered in 2016 in Trump's favor. Translation: that fight is a political bar brawl with no referee.
By March 2026, Trump said he and Gabbard differed on Iran. She answered that the intelligence community informs risk while the president decides imminence, and listed Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and Pakistan as missile threats. Then she announced her resignation for family reasons, effective June 2026. In May 2026, she said her husband had bone cancer. Trump thanked her and named Aaron Lucas acting DNI. Life punches harder than politics, folks.
All right, big question time. Was Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset, like some genius hot takes claimed? Listen, Hillary Clinton floated that grenade in 2019. Gabbard denied it and even filed a suit she later dropped. The New York Times reported Russian media amplified some of her views, but found no evidence of collaboration. Meanwhile, she condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Those are the receipts.
My take. It's political theatre born from fear of dissent. She met Assad in 2017 on a trip arranged by Denis Kucinich, cleared it with House Ethics, came back and kept arguing against regime change wars. You can hate that posture, fine. But calling dissent disloyalty is lazy, dangerous, and corrupts the whole damned conversation. You want to win the argument. Bring facts, not smear grenades.
If you think she's wrong on Syria, argue it. If you think her border pivot starved Russia analysis, show me the trade-offs, with specifics. But for the love of sanity, stop pretending that disagreement equals espionage. That's McCarthy cosplay, and it sucks. Drop your comments if you disagree. I'll read the sharp ones on air and bin the stupid ones with extreme prejudice.
Quick tangent. Years ago, I spoke at this business conference. Half the room assumed I was cashing a check to blow smoke. I get up there and absolutely roasted their leadership for starving wages and weaponizing NDAs. The emails after? You corporate shill. You sold out. Mate, were you even in the room? I lit them up like a Christmas tree.
Point is, perception is a lying little gremlin. Once a narrative gets rolling, people glue their brains to it. Same with Tulsi. Hero to some, heretic to others. And most folks never check the source material. That's society for you.
I shouldn't have to say this, but here we fucking are. You can slam her ODNI cuts. You can slam her Fulton County cameo. You can slam the Sharia claims that officials debunked. But weaponizing the Russian asset label without proof, that's cowardice. Grow a spine, argue on policy, and stop lighting the discourse on fire just to watch it burn.
All right, we're leaving it at that.
I'm fucking exhausted.
This has been Truth Amplified with Vixie Steele. See you tomorrow. Bring your brains, not your buzzwords.